This is John Floridus. Welcome to the Monday Music Special. Tonight we feature a celebration of the world's premier Irish-American group, Solace. This is John Floridus. Welcome to the Monday Music Special. Tonight we're going to feature the music of the world's premier Irish-American band, Solace. I had a chance to travel with the group in early 2016 as they were celebrating their 20th year. Their tour had brought them to Montana for dates in Helena, Bozeman, and Missoula. I had a chance to connect with founding member and violinist Winifred Horan backstage at the Missoula concert during the group's sound check.
There was such an energy between the five of us, like anything. You know, when five people get to get together for the first time, that energy of the initial sound is really identifiable. It just felt really dynamic and it felt free.
Over the years, I've had several opportunities to talk shop with founding member and multi-instrumentalist Seamus Egan. Though an unexpected turn of events caused a delay, which we'll explain later in the show, Seamus and I were eventually able to catch up in Bozeman several weeks after the tour and talk about the new album and the 20-year celebration.
A large part of it is just feeling a deep sense of gratitude to the folks that have sort of stayed with us over the years. I mean, it's one thing to kind of keep going, but it almost feels that we're better now than we were when we were younger. We maybe feel that we know a bit more on how to do things.
I also spoke with current vocalist Maura Smiley, who tours and records with the band in addition to a wide range of other musical projects.
I was really just thrilled to be singing this music. It was like falling in love, honestly. I think it was the making of this album all these years that kind of set us all into this idea, like, Well, let's have some new songs that gave us that jumping off point into the new.
Finally, at the same Missoula concert soundcheck, I visited with Solace's original singer, Karen Casey, who was with the group for this leg of the 2016 tour.
You know, you come back together and you realize what a great time we had. I mean, it was just so exciting. It was such a whirlwind, all those memories. And it's good to be able to celebrate that and embrace it and enjoy it.
The three original members of Solace that were part of the Montana 2016 tour reminisced with me about the origins of a band that grew from humble beginnings to become a world-touring virtuoso group of musicians and one of the most influential Irish-American musical acts in history.
What was possible for it began when I was working on When Juniper Sleeps, the last solo album I made. Much of the lineup on that album became Solace, with John Doyle, John Williams, and Wynn, and myself. And you know, there was no singing on that album, but then we ended up obviously meeting Karen and adding her to the mix.
There was no master plan. I remember exactly what it was. There was a festival up in Westchester, and this car pulled up really fast, and Wynn and Seamus sort of fell out of the car door, and sort of they were late and they were rushing across, but I didn't know them now at all. And then they came up to me and said, "That was lovely singing, we're doing a session in the Blarney Star." Seamus and Wynn were like, "Would you like to come down there?" And I got up and I sang "Here's a Health to the Company" and "Irie Sousa Storeen." I remember it.
The very tunes.
Yes, vividly. And then they said to me, "Hey, that's lovely." And we kind of got on and we had a few drinks. And they said, "Where do you live?" And I said, "East 90th Street." And they said, "Oh, we live on East 90th Street."
I forgot this. Yeah. That's great.
So I was only 5 or 6 doors down. So then we kind of went from there, really. And we basically practiced an awful lot in Wynn and Seamus's apartment, which was very small.
Myself, Karen, John Doyle, and Seamus would meet in the apartment to rehearse. And at that stage, we didn't even have a name for the band.
But when
when we started getting hired to do gigs, festivals and promoters were suggesting that it would be a good idea for us to put a name on it, because we couldn't keep using all of our individual names. I think at one point it was Seamus Egan and Friends.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That was for the first. Yeah, that was for the first gig with the four of us at Lowell Folk Festival. From my point of view, or from my memory, all of the bands that we were playing in at that time individually, with the exception of Karen, because we didn't know her at that point, it just seemed like at that particular time, people were either leaving those bands or those bands were breaking up. And I remember sitting with Seamus one evening saying, "Wow, this is kind of interesting that we're all sort of either breaking away from the bands that we're playing with, or those bands are breaking up." And it's kind of, Seamus got asked then to put a lineup together, and we were kind of saying, "Wow, this could be the making of a band if we wanted to do that."
You know, we thought we'd make an album with, you know, under the name Solace with Karen, and just see what happened, you know. But there was never really any sort of thought that certainly we'd be here 20 years later talking about another Solace record, you know, celebrating 20 years. Yeah. The response to that first album was really positive, and suddenly it was like, oh, maybe we should do a second album. And suddenly you're working on a third album, you've no idea how that has happened. You've just suddenly went from here to here in very seemingly short. I mean, I think we were making an album a year there for a while.
Yeah.
And we were pretty much on, you know, touring pretty much around the around the calendar, around the world. And at that point, you're in it.
Right.
Hold it
Honestly, we didn't even see it as like that it would last a year. It wasn't even in our heads that it was going to be turn out to be like a huge part of our musical journey and career. You know, I even hate to use the word career as a musician, but I think we started to really sense that something was happening musically, and there was such an energy between the five of us. And when we decided that we would try to record it, that whole period of recording that first album, we started to sense that this could be something that would be a positive musical entity. It just felt really dynamic, and it felt free, and it felt, yeah, I can't describe it. There was definitely an energy with that first lineup. And I think, like anything, you know, when five people get to get together for the first time, that energy of the initial sound is really identifiable. And then we started to get offers for lots more work and more gigs, and we started to tour a lot. And before we knew it, we were in the studio making the second album. Hmm. And then by then we knew that it was something that was sticking.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to the Monday Music Special, featuring a celebration of the 20th anniversary of Solace. Perhaps a crucial point in the band's musical direction came with Karen Casey's rendition of the Woody Guthrie song, Pastures of Plenty.
Well, I suppose I just loved it from the beginning, and I suppose I kind of identified with it on some levels, being, you know, an immigrant and working all my jobs in the three jobs to keep going. I was so happy to get a gig in music because I just had to do one job and I got paid probably three times the amount. You know, you're searching, you're trawling through songs, and that song jumped out. And I suppose it was a little bit unusual for the group, but we'd been together for 4 years at that point, so we were kind of searching for something a little bit different. And that lent itself to it. I mean, it took a while to come up with the arrangement. I remember us stuck in that apartment. In fairness to Seamus, he stuck at that intro. And it was easy, you know. Good songs are easy. They sing themselves, and they're exciting, and they're fantastic, you know. And it allowed for familiarity. You know, while Irish music is pretty familiar for people in America. It's a little bit exotic. You know, you've got all mm-hmm. those modes and those right. weird keys and what the hell is she saying in that weird accent? So this...
And that's when you're singing in English.
Yes, exactly.
Let alone Gaelic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it allowed for, I suppose, that gap. Really, to move on. You know, I'm a weird little woman from Waterford. Here I am in Montana. Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah.
And I've had such a rich and creative life because of all those songs.
Yeah.
You know, and I am pretty particular about my songs, which causes trouble. But I want to stand over them. You know, I want mm-hmm. them to be powerful. And so I have great respect for them. And I think that way then... the audience listening gets that. I very much believe singers need to inhabit songs, mm-hmm. to really believe them, really be honest. And for my own, I sort of have a social sense of responsibility. And I suppose I believe in humanity. Mm-hmm. So I believe that they're important.
Seamus Egan has always had more than a passing interest in Montana, particularly Butte.
Yeah, when we first came out here to play in Butte, or I think that's the connection. And really, it was began as something of a sort of a family history project. A great uncle of mine, a fellow by the name of Michael Conway, had come out here to work in the copper mines. And he arrived in 1913. And the story was he died in 1916, and he was very young. And I'd remembered my father telling us the story. And when we were coming out here for the first time, and I said we were coming to Butte, he had asked me if I would see if I could find out anything about him. He was going to be in Butte for 3 days or something. And, you know, I knew there wouldn't be probably a whole lot. Wouldn't have a whole pile of answers after 3 days. But started talking with people there. And that really, it was really trying to find his grave that led to, led to me coming back here and to find out more about him, because we knew very little. I knew very little about Butte. I knew, nothing of its how strong its connection was to Ireland, and knew nothing about its history and mining and labour and all these things that really, once I started to learn about that and learn slowly, Michael Conway's life started to sort of come into focus. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like it was a really compelling story, a larger story that we could possibly tell from a very personal point of view. So that's really started the whole journey with us and coming back to Butte. I mean, it's kind of amazing to think that was like 16 years ago. The album came out in, I think, 2013? Mm-hmm. So, for the better part, more than a decade, sort of back and forth and working on this. And eventually, the nice bit of news was that we did find his grave. Mm-hmm. And I had met a whole part, over the course of this time, met a whole part of the family that I had never, relatives of ours that I had never met before. Like hundreds of them, all still in the Philadelphia area. And they all got together and put the money up and was able to get him a headstone, a gravestone, after 100 years. And it was almost to the day, I think it was in March 2015, got the headstone there. Yeah. So it's an incredible story, really. And there he is now, after 100 years, we know where to find him.
When your spirit's waiting up.
Solis marked their 10-year anniversary with a live concert that was recorded in Philadelphia and released as a CD and DVD entitled Reunion, featuring all the group's members up to that point. For the 20-year anniversary of the group, they had to come up with something a little bit different. Seamus Egan explains.
Reunion was really kind of a shot in the dark. We knew like we had one sort of chance to get everyone together. We had a couple of days to do all the rehearsal and the tech, and then record and film one show. This time around, there was more people involved.
Yes,
because we didn't stop having people come and go in the interim 10 years. So it was even more to even contemplate that was just really would have been almost impossible to try and get everyone on the day. Everyone has their lives to lead. So it was sort of this idea of wanting to do something but not wanting to retread. And whatever, just trying to get something that might be interesting for us to do and hopefully interesting for our fans. So the idea that we hit on was the notion of getting everyone back together, but in a recording, a kind of studio environment. But rather than do older material or sort of new versions of the old stuff, which didn't really have an appeal because it felt that we'd just be kind of doing new versions for the sake of doing new versions, just because we had this thing to do. Right. So it was really then about let's record new material, but with the various lineups that we had. So it was in some ways I didn't want the project to be this, in whatever it turned out to be just a simple sort of nostalgia trip. Mm-hmm. And I thought that this was an interesting way of kind of having that, just having a bit of the nostalgia just in the fact that we were working with the different lineups,
right.
But that the thing that would kind of push past that was that we were doing material that we had never recorded before.
Yeah.
So that was the idea.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to the Monday Music Special featuring a celebration of the 20th anniversary of Solis, including interviews and live recordings from the group's 2016 tour of Montana. Stay tuned for the second half of the program when we continue to examine the story of the world's premier Irish-American group of musicians. This is John Floridis. Welcome back to the Monday Music Special featuring a celebration of the 20th anniversary of Solis. Here's a recording from the group's 2016 tour of Montana, a piece the band frequently uses as a concert closer called The Stride Set. This is John Floridis. You're listening to the Monday Music Special featuring a celebration of the 20th anniversary of the music of Solis. The making of all these years marked Solis' first recording with the multidimensional vocalist Maura Smiley, known for her work with the Lomax Project, Voco, Tune Yards, and several other award-winning projects. Though not with the group during their 2016 Montana tour, Maura had a chance to visit with me in Bozeman later that year. She talked about how she was introduced to the group's music, how they were introduced to her, and how she went from being a fill-in for singer Noriana Kennedy to being the group's featured vocalist.
It was an early falling in love that I had with the band back in 96, when they started. And I was in Bloomington, and I was hanging out with some friends who were Irish, you know, interested in Irish traditional music, and I was doing sessions, learning tunes, and I was going to Ireland to study Shanos singing, and so, yeah, listening to the Solis CDs and then the Karen Casey solo records was really inspiring.
So that's how you, I mean, that's how their music first came to you.
Yeah.
And then at some point, had they heard you singing with the Lomax Project?
Am I getting this way right? You know, I think it was actually with this band, Molly's Revenge, that was California. And we were doing a festival that they were also doing in the Sierras. I very briefly met them, and I remember that, and it was great. And then it happened that Noriana was needing to be on maternity leave, and they needed a sub.
So you were sub first.
Yeah.
Tell me about what that was like when you go from, you know, subbing for a group, which in and of itself can be a daunting task. To step into somebody else's world, and then to have them invite you to be a part of that.
It's often a really subtle and sometimes unspoken passage from being a sub to being, you know, a full-fledged part of it. And because I'm such a polyglot and all over the place, I was, you know, just thrilled to be singing this music. It was like falling in love, honestly, just being enamored of the feeling that you get on stage, you know, really powerful, visceral stage experience, you know, with Winifred right there.
Yeah, a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, it's sort of just I got to be less and less just sort of like, okay, is this how it goes? And more like, okay, this is how it goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was an evolution and a pleasurable one. But honestly, I think it was the making of this album all these years that kind of set us all into this idea, like, well, let's have some new songs that we've never done before and that you're not singing somebody else's song. Let's try something new.
Through the mist, my ship has sailed, leaving me behind. Thank you. was on, no one 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 was on.
Mora also talked about the task of reworking a song the band had already recorded with Deirdre Scanlon over a decade ago, Jesse Colin Young's Darkness, Darkness.
Being singer number six in Solace is really, it's an interesting place because, yeah, you do tend to inhabit a song as a singer. But in fact, I mean, no song belongs to you, not even your own that you write, you know? Mm-hmm. And hopefully you just inhabit it fully for the moment that you are doing it.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful to sing Darkness, Darkness in front of Deirdre in Glasgow in January.
Oh, wow.
She was sitting on the side of the stage, and she just gave me this beautiful hug. And I just felt like, okay, this is the moment. It just keeps you in the moment of the music to sing for another singer that's been in that song. And that's a very powerful song. It's calling upon the darkness, both outside of us and in us, to be a teacher, you know, mm-hmm. to be a comfort, even though it doesn't seem like the most obvious thing to ask for.
Darkness, darkness, be my pillow. Darkness, long and lonesome is the day.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to the Monday Music Special featuring a celebration of the 20th anniversary of Solis. Visiting with original vocalist Karen Casey during soundcheck for Solis' 2016 Missoula concert, she discussed the emotions she experienced being in the recording studio with the band for the first time in over 15 years and reflected on the significance of her time with the group during a formative period in her career.
You know, you come back together and you realize what a great time we had for those 4 years. I was only there for the first 4 years. I mean, it was just so exciting. It was such a whirlwind. You know, now I'm ready to grow lupins and read poetry. So I suppose you're sort of catapulted back into that, all those memories. And then in the studio, I suppose there was the support. I'm allowing myself to cry now. I think in the past I was afraid and angry, and now I allow myself to cry, and I allowed myself to cry that day for everything, you know, all the things we did and just everything we've had.
Yeah.
And it's good to be able to celebrate that and embrace it and enjoy it. Where are you going, my bonnie wee lass? Where are you going, my honey? Quite manly she answered me, have a message for me, mammy.
Try to get out again tonight.
Where do you live, my bonnie wee lass? Oh, where do you live, my honey? When Manali, she answered me, way down in yon green valley with me.
Try to get out again
tonight. My, try to get out again tonight. As I went down to her house, her mammy chanced to hear me. She opened the door and let me in, and she kissed me three times over with me.
The album All These Years closes with the title track, a beautiful instrumental written by Seamus Egan, performed by Seamus and Winifred Horan. The two founding members of the group have shared a long professional and personal relationship beyond even the 20 years of Solis, and reflected on the significance of bringing the recorded celebration of the anniversary of the group to a close with that piece.
Win and myself were, you know, we were together for years before Solis became a thing. And, you know, one of the reasons, I suppose one of the reasons Solis came into existence, we were trying to find a way of being able to, you know, work a bit together. So that, I mean, there was a life that was had prior, you know, prior to Solace, and certainly a life and a half since then. Mm-hmm. In all the sort of various sort of versions of the band and everything that the band's been through, Wynn himself have been the two, the two constants throughout.
It was one of the last pieces written or prepared for the album, and he sent me this idea, a snippet of part of the melody of that tune, and he sent it to me, and I put my headphones on one night, and I heard it, and I completely broke down. Like, I just thought it was so beautiful. And we had talked before I even heard this piece that it would be really cool, since we're the only two remaining members, and since the two of us kind of started it, we wanted to really make it a thing that we had something together just by ourselves. You know, myself and Seamus have had a pretty strong, powerful musical relationship and personal relationship over the last 25 years. And, you know, we're the best of friends, and, you know, we've kept this thing together for 20 years. And it was just, we felt like it was a moment for the two of us to sort of put a little bit of a seal on it. It was the first time that Seamus has actually played piano on any of the recordings. And so I was also really impressed and proud of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he plays everything else, and it was almost like him letting himself be a little bit vulnerable.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And not being afraid of that after mm-hmm. 20 years of being such a powerful force and powerful musician. And, you know, I thought it was a really admirable thing, and for him to let that side of his music come through.
Thank you.
That's the title track from Solis's 20-year celebration recording, All These Years. This is John Floridis. We're going to close out this Monday music special with some last thoughts from the group's producer and founding member, Seamus Egan, including that explanation of why his interview was not recorded at Soundcheck with Winifred Horan and Karen Casey. Seamus also reflects on the possibility of a 30th celebration.
Can we tell the story of what happened when we tried to do this interview initially?
Yeah, we can. Okay. We were doing a sound check in Missoula, and you were interviewing Winnie and Karen, and I was next up.
Right.
And just before I was to come down, I was just setting up on my bits up on the stage, and I was cutting gaff tape with this new pocket knife. That was incredibly sharp. And I clearly was not used to operating such sharp knives. And I sliced the top of my finger, my index finger, and it was a bit of a mess. And I had to go to the hospital and get stitches. Then by the time I got back, it was showtime.
And, I was going to say, this was like 2 hours before the show was to begin.
Crazy. Yeah. So I had to learn how to play with two fingers very quickly.
Which you did amazingly that night.
I think I was in kind of shock. I don't really remember playing. Yeah, the next few nights were interesting as well because it was way more sore the next day.
Oh, I was going to say, I guess that would probably be the case.
Yeah, but it was okay. It's all good now.
So can we already start thinking about a 30-year reunion?
No, not yet. We've got so many miles to go on this year. But I mean, look, we're already thinking about new projects, and who knows what the future brings? But I mean, we've had a busy 20 years, and if we're looking at 30 years, that'll be pretty amazing.
It would be pretty amazing, but I can conceive of it in my mind as someone who's followed the band for that time. I mean, it'll be different.
Yeah. I mean, we're a very different band than we were 20 years ago. And, 30 years rolls around, we'll be a very different band, we'll be very different individual musicians. It's just hopefully better. We'll probably lose a step here and there, but hopefully what we'd sort of gain in experience and maybe being clever will kind of, balance out the step or two that we lose.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to the Monday Music Special featuring a celebration of the music of Solis. Special thanks to the Myrna Loy Theater in Helena, Montana, the Ellen Theater in Bozeman, Montana, as well as Music Villa in Bozeman, and the Denison Theater in Missoula, Montana, for the recording of the live tracks and interviews in this program. This Monday Music Special is a production of Montana Public Radio.